First Peter chapter 1. Before Christmas, Pastor Jeff had led us through a short series in First Peter called Following Christ Today, and I love that series, and I wanted to come back to it for three reasons. Number one, I think there was a super powerful and timely message there for us that I think deserves to hold our attention for just a little bit longer. Also, number two, I think that New Year's is a great time to sort of examine ourselves and take stock of our faith, and 1 Peter is a great invitation to do that, 1 Peter chapter 1. And number three, and this is kind of a selfish one, I personally crave spiritual faithfulness. I want it for myself, and I want it for you too, because I know that when you're growing in spiritual faithfulness, that helps me grow in spiritual faithfulness. And also when this side of the church is growing in spiritual faithfulness, that's good for that side of the church growing in spiritual faithfulness. When this whole church is growing in spiritual faithfulness, that's great for the other churches. And I estimate, it's just an estimate, but I'm guessing that there's maybe 2,000 to 6,000 people that are following Jesus in Campbell River and growing in spiritual faithfulness. And that leaves about 31,000 people in Campbell River that are still separated from Jesus and are living a life that's on a path to hell. So I'm really eager for that 6,000 people to pursue and continue growing towards spiritual faithfulness, because I know that that's going to have an effect and an influence on the people in Campbell River that don't know him yet. Can you say amen to that with me? Amen. All right, so our central passage today is going to be 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through to 16. We're going to get started there in just a second, but we're actually going to get started in chapter 1, verse 3. Oh, I said I was turning there, but I didn't turn there at all. I'll get there. 1 Peter. It's right after James. I'll take a sip and we'll get started. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. Stop for a second. Just notice what we just read. It's really good news. God loves us. He's merciful. And even though we deserved his condemnation, he's so merciful that he took the punishment we deserved and put it on himself. And he took the inheritance that he deserved, the inheritance that God deserved, and he put that on us. That's really, really good news. You can't beat that. You can't beat that prize, okay? That's the best prize to get, the inheritance that God deserves. You can't beat that. And what's a really interesting thing to notice here is that it's being kept in heaven for you, being guarded through faith. And at first, when my wife and I first read that together, it looked like it was saying our inheritance was being guarded. But that's not what it actually says. It says, you who by God's power are being guarded. So we're the ones being guarded, not the imperishable inheritance. Okay, that's imperishable. That's not being guarded. But you are the ones being guarded. Now, that's a weird thing to say in this letter, because the people that Peter is writing to, he knows are very likely going to get killed. That's how they're going to die, is because they're being persecuted for their faith. So track with me in this, okay? I didn't first see it when I looked at the text, but when I saw it, it was amazing. Why are we being guarded if we get this imperishable gift when we die? And Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 1 to 7 kind of helps us out a bit here because it explains the purpose of a guardian when we're talking about an inheritance. It's not to guard us from bandits, but it's more like a trustee. Someone that trusts over a child that is coming to age. So Maggie said, when we talked about this, she said, so it's like children being guarded from dessert. Yes, that's what it's like. Our hearts right now, while we're being prepared for eternity, are being stretched and our wisdom is being enlarged for the inheritance that is waiting for us, that is too big for this world for us to receive it here. That is good news. You think you're going to name it and claim it here, but you can't even handle your best life now. You got to wait for that stuff. All right, let's keep reading. In 1 Peter, verse 6, "And this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have seen him, though you have not seen him, sorry, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." All right, so more good news. It kind of seems crazy to me that Peter, I got to put this timer on. I can talk about Jesus all day. Don't want to do that to you. So let's get a timer going. Okay, start it. Okay, it seems crazy that Peter would dare to talk about inexpressible joy to a group of people that are in danger of being fed to lions and burned on crosses. But he's able to talk about it like that because he knows that the outcome of their faith is really good news. And the weight to him, which is just the rest of his life, it's just a little while. And the trials that he faces, which is alienation and exile and persecution, that's just the preparation process for what results in praise and honor and glory more precious than gold in the revelation of Jesus Christ. The things that you and I are experiencing now in this life in 2019 are producing in us the heaven-sized praise and glory and honor that is too big to fit inside the limitations of this world. That's our inheritance. So praise God and rejoice because you can't even express the inheritance that you're going to get. When I take a break because I'm excited and I need to take a sip, you guys can chime in there. You can get excited about this stuff. That inheritance is for you too. All right. So let's get back to it. What are we at? Verse 10. "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things on which angels long to look." So Peter is saying, hey, you're in good company because before you held this hope, the prophets held this hope and they came and held it out to you. And they've been your example of what faith looks like up to this point. And now you keep the faith for what is awaiting you. We'll read now the hope that is awaiting you. In verse 13, our main bit. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not conform to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. To summarize what Peter is saying, I'm going to try to summarize what Peter is saying in a couple of sentences. Now that you know that God is a merciful Father, now that you know that he has finished the work of salvation in Jesus Christ, now that you know you have an unfading inheritance in his kingdom, now that you know an example of what faithfulness is that's gone before you, now that you know all of these things, set your hope fully on Jesus Christ, who's coming to deliver you into the promise of God. Set your hope. It's not a passive thing. Jesus followers in Campbell River in 2019, today you are being prepared for your inheritance. Today you are being prepared for your inheritance. Be about it. Be doing your faith today and in 2019. That's how we grow in faithfulness in 2019. We set our hope on God and his promises. Like setting a dial in you, setting your dial to long for the praises of God. Unset hope is flip-floppy. Unset hope just kind of hopes in whatever seems good at the time. Maybe a promotion or your hockey team or something that just feels good at the moment. But Peter's saying enough of that. That's baby stuff. You are being guarded as children as you grow up into your heavenly inheritance. Are you going to sit on your butt and hope for mild weather until Jesus returns? No, you're not. We've got things to do. We're being told to prepare our mind. The word is gird up the loins of your mind. Pull your pants up so you can get ready for action. Maybe tighten your belt. Pants are already good. God's got big thoughts to occupy your mind. You don't have time for pondering the hope of a sexual encounter or what you could do if maybe you were divorced or if you had a little bit more time for video games or if you could spend more time drinking and eating and shopping and TV. When your mind is prepared for action, you act on what you've prepared for. So in 2019, let's act out our faith. Let's be sober-minded. It doesn't mean be solemn-minded, by the way, or somber-minded. It means that you make sure your mind is sharp and sensitive to the things that God has prepared for you. Your mind is acutely aware of the joy of Christ's victory. Be like that in 2019. You don't have time for squishy, foggy thoughts about your future. You're an heir of the universe. You're an heir of the universe. Be thinking about that. Be preparing yourself for that this year. Let's read some Bible verses. Let's read the next Bible verse. There's a couple. Couldn't fit them all on the screen, so you can look them up. Luke 12:35 says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, keep your body and your spirit clean, working toward holiness, complete holiness. Philippians chapter 2 says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. Philippians chapter 3, forget what lies behind, strain forward to what lies behind, ahead, pressing on toward the goal. 1 Timothy in chapter 1 says, fight the good fight, holding on to the faith and a good conscience. Chapter 4 in 1 Timothy says, train yourself for godliness, toil and strive because of the hope that God has set in you. And over the last few weeks as I prepared for this sermon, I read over 20 verses like that, where God is encouraging to keep moving forward, to not passively, but actively reject the fragile imitations of glory below and to press forward towards the hope of Jesus Christ. Do you know that this book that you trust in is encouraging you to do that today? We're not just waiting around. We've got work to do here. The work of discovering the joy of our eternal inheritance in Christ. That's good news work. But, it's a but. There is a danger here. Before we get too excited about what we're going to do for Jesus in 2019, let's get real about two potential dangers: legalism and license. So, if you like rules and you like the thought of doing more spiritual things in 2019, then you might be a legalist. And here's the thing about you legalists, and we're all legalists sometimes, is that you think you can win based on your performance. So don't you forget that you were loved and cherished by God in the thick of your sin. The thick of your sin. That's when he found you and saved you. Not after you cleaned up your act. And if you did no spiritual discipline in 2019, it wouldn't put a dent in your eternal inheritance. That was won for you by Jesus. You can't make it any better by spiritual disciplines in 2019. But maybe you're not a legalist. Maybe you're definitely not a legalist. You like to hear messages about just being yourself. Maybe you're licentious. That means you basically give yourself a license to do whatever you think is good. And here's the thing with you licentious people, and I probably am more like one of those. You think that the praise and glory and honor that awaits you, that God has promised you, can be reduced down to something small enough for you to attain. But it is much bigger than that. And you would like things to be wild and organic. But don't forget that there is a wild army down here among you that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy your faith, like the birds and the weeds in the parable of the soils. And while you're down here in the soil, you gotta work that soil. It takes discipline. It takes moving forward in faith. So we're going to reframe a question that I asked at the beginning of the year of myself. What can I do to be a little bit better in 2019? We're going to reframe that question so that it says something more like, how can I look further into the hope that is awaiting me in God's fulfilled promises in his kingdom? How can I open my eyes and ears to the riches that God has prepared? And this is the best I could do at reframing that question. What doors and windows of my soul can I fling open to the wind of God's Spirit in 2019 and close the doors and windows of the spores of the dead sin that I'm leaving behind in 2018? I want to know, how can I fling open more windows and let the Holy Spirit come into my life so that I can continue to move forward in faithfulness? So to answer that question, we're going to take a super, super practical look at some spiritual disciplines. Oh, you licentious people hate that word. We're going to look at three categories: listen to God, speak with God, and share with others. There's a lot more spiritual disciplines. I just kind of boiled them down to three to save time. But we're going to try and squeeze the spiritual disciplines into three ways that we can open the doors and the windows of our soul to the wind of God's Spirit in 2019. And I got to go through them fast because, you know, I like to talk. All right. Now, these aren't magic rituals, by the way. They're not things that we can do to make God love us more. You can't do that. No one can do that. God already loves you the most. And when God loves you the most, there's no love that you can add on to that. That's the most love that you can ever receive. These are just really practical activities that were practiced by prophets and Jesus and the apostles and really regular people who have put their faith into practice, in trusting in the promises of God. People like Lydia, who was just a lady. She did retail. She sold purple stuff. And she met with the girls down by the river for prayer regularly. And because of her regular practice of prayer and service, she became the gateway of the gospel reaching Europe, of the gospel which eventually came to reach Canada. So we can take up those kinds of practices in 2019 that can move us in spiritual faithfulness like Lydia did. And she's only got two verses in the Bible, Acts chapter 16, I think it's like 4 and 5. So, number one is listen to God. When Jesus fasted for 40 days, he reminds us in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. One preacher paraphrases it like this: if you have to choose between breakfast and the Word of God or reading your Bible, choose reading your Bible. That's a nice, simple way to put it. Basically, it's saying, if you have to eat today, then you definitely have to take in the Word of God today. If you're not sure if you have time to eat today or listen to the Word of God, consider this. A study that I looked at in 2015, I can't remember if it was actually done in 2015, but I think it was close, said that at around that time, Canadians took on average about 10 hours of prepared content a day. 10 hours of prepared content a day. That's newspapers and TV shows and emails and your social media channels. We live in a world that is hyper-listening. All the time we're tuning in to things that are sending us messages. Don't let your eyes and your ears be so filled by the voices of the world. Actually, let's put that positively. Let your eyes and ears be so filled with the voice of God that the voices of the world cannot compete for your hope. That's taking in the Word of God in 2019. So how can you set your hope in 2019 in the spiritual discipline of listening to God? Read and listen to God's Word, study the Bible, and abstain from morally neutral activities that dull your sensitivity to the Word of God. If you've never been able to get hold of this before in your life, then you can start small by finding ways to take in a small portion of the Bible every day. Maybe just leave a Bible open on your dresser so that when you're putting on your jammies in the morning, you can read a small paragraph. Putting on your jammies in the evening. No comment. That's one real practical, real easy thing that you can start doing. Get a Bible app and just read the verse of the day that pops up. Even like hit that little like button so other people will read it too. Read a book or a podcast on your way to work that helps uncover the truth of the Bible. Or to abstain, you can just regularly get into the habit of saying no to things, not because they're bad, but just because you're trying to keep your mind sharp to the promises of God. Just do that every now and then. Just say no to something that you usually say yes to, just so that you can be more finely tuned to the promises of God. Turn your phone off when you get out of bed in the morning so that you can just spend time listening to Jesus. Or when you get in the car, instead of turning the radio on straight away, wait 4 minutes and spend some time thinking about what God is doing in your day that day. 4 minutes of radio. You probably missed 2 ads. Sorry. Maybe those ads are great. I do ads. That's my job. If you're already in this great habit of listening to the word, and you want to fling open another big window to let the Holy Spirit to come in, then commit yourself to a period of time or an amount of Bible that you're going to get done in a day or a week or something like that. And make sure that you're spending time meditating on what you read. That means if you spend 30 minutes reading the Bible that day, then spend 15 of those minutes reading the Bible and 15 soaking it in, taking in what God is saying to you through His Word. If you've got 2 minutes, spend 1 minute reading and 1 minute meditating. If you've got 2 hours, take a whole hour to read and a whole hour to meditate. Systematically break from things that you tend to get attached to, like food. We're all pretty attached to food. Most of us don't go a very long time without it. Every now and then, just take a break from it and make your physical appetite low so that you can make your spiritual appetite grow and pay attention to an appetite that you don't usually serve straight away. Or maybe it's that thing that you're just used to kind of letting yourself hope in, like a time off that you usually get or couch time at the end of the day. Just every now and then for a season, get that out of your schedule so that it doesn't become the thing that you hope in. Put something else there instead. Doesn't necessarily have to be, I don't know, cleaning nuns' shoes. Just get rid of it for a while. I don't know. Nuns wear shoes. I don't know. All right. Spiritual discipline category number 2. Speak with God. I'm going to get the band people to come up now. When we think about speaking with God, I want you to think about not so much just blah, 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 but think about turning the things that God is saying to you and turning them around so that they can be expressed through you in your own words and thoughts, okay? So an example of this is in Psalm chapter 32, or the 32nd Psalm, verse 5, where King David says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation." So when King David is struggling to hang his hope on something, he speaks back to himself the truth that God has given to him. You can do that in 2019. So you can set your hope in 2019 using the spiritual discipline of speaking with God through secret prayer, that's worship and confession and petition, through Bible memorization, this is something you can start anytime, and through journaling. So it's really practical. If you want to start the habit but you're just not sure how to get it rolling, then you can start small by asking God to fill you with His Holy Spirit when you just open your eyes in the morning. God, fill me with Your Holy Spirit today. Lead me along Your way. Or maybe you're not conscious at that time of morning, and it's your coffee thing to do, is to take a sip of coffee and say, God, take control of my day today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. That's something you can start doing if you're not already doing anything, to regularly speak with God. You can, while you're reading the Bible, just plan during that time to stop and talk to God about what you're reading. Praise him for what you're learning about him. Confess your sin as it's being revealed. Ask him that the promises that he's revealing to you, you can see the evidence of them in your life. That's a way that you can get started speaking with God in 2019 if you never have before. And when you find a Bible verse that resonates with you, write it somewhere where you'll see it, like right here when you unlock your phone, or stick it to your computer, or stick it to your car dashboard. And the first time you see that every day, just read it to yourself. And let it get stuck in here, so when your hope gets fuzzy, you can speak that back to yourself. If you're already in the habit of speaking with God, then other ways that you can fling open some windows in 2019. For some of you, you've heard this all before, and you've even done it in times during your life. Let this be to you a reminder that these aren't things of the past. We still do this. We still press forward towards the hope we have in God's promises. You can keep a journal of your prayer. Actually write that stuff down. It keeps your mind sharp on the promises of God. Or journal out the things that you're learning about him. You might even journal a devotion once a week or something like that. The things that God is working in you that week, make a devotion. Maybe your kids will read it one day. Maybe someone will pick it up and be touched. Maybe you'll pick it up and remember what God was doing in your life at that time. Okay, now I don't really think that any of this stuff that I've just said is news to anybody here. I don't think anybody would disagree that this is a bad idea if you want to grow spiritually in 2019, but I do think, you guys can start, I do think that sometimes we don't start these things just because we haven't started them yet, just because we don't have any momentum yet. So what we're going to do for the next 3 minutes is start it right now. If you haven't started it before, you started it on the 6th of January, 2019. We're going to take a couple of minutes to listen to God, to speak with God. The band's going to just help dull out the distracting din of the room so that you can quiet your mind, listen to God, speak with him, maybe even write down something that he's leading you to do in 2019. Thanks, band. Okay, we did it. We started. You guys already started because you're here. We started again on some of the quieter things that we forget sometimes. All right. The last one of the three, share with others. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 to 16 talks about what God is doing with the church right now. It says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. In 2019, how can you set your hope by using spiritual discipline of sharing with others? If you don't know how to get started on that, here's a couple of things you can start with. Selfless service, stewardship of your time, treasure, and talents, and public prayer. That's what we do here all the time. So, in John chapter 13, Jesus assumes the role of the lowest form of servant that he could possibly have assumed at that time. And he goes around and he washes the feet of his disciples. And when he's done, he tells them, hey, see what I just did? I made myself a selfless servant. Now you go and do the same. And when we serve others, Campbell River Baptist Church, when you serve others, you make yourself like Jesus, and you are preparing yourself for an eternal, imperishable, better than gold inheritance. If you need a way to start this practice in a small way in 2019, then try this. Try finding a charity that serves the underprivileged in this world. You might give some money, or you might give some time, or something like that. But don't tell anybody about it. Try that as a discipline. Don't tell anybody about it, and don't expect anything in return at all. If somebody finds out about it, no big deal. But don't expect anything in return at all. Because as soon as you expect something in return, even if you expect just like a little bit of gratitude from the people that you're helping, then it's not a selfless service anymore. It's a trade. Here, I'll do this thing for you, you give me gratitude. You don't want any of that. You want to be like Jesus. You want to know what it is to work up to that inheritance that you have in eternity. If you're already in the habit of selfless service, like I know many of you at CRBC are already in, and you just want to fling open those windows and get more of the Holy Spirit in so you know more about the hope that you have, then you could try this. You could try becoming a true friend to somebody in your community that cannot pay you back for any of the favors that you give to them. Try becoming a true friend to somebody that can't give you anything at all. Become like Jesus in that way. It'll bless you as you draw nearer to the promises of God in your life. Another way that we share with others is through stewardship. So in Acts chapter 2 verse 45 and chapter 4 verses 34, the early church begins to live out the promises of God when no one in the household of faith had need of anything, because everything, whether it be services or possession or money or food or whatever, they all shared it with each other, because they all knew that if we belong to God, then our stuff belongs to God, and we're just using it until we get to the things that God has prepared for us. So if you'd like to get started in the spiritual discipline of stewardship, here's an idea that you can try in 2019, if you've never done anything like this before. Get a piece of paper, fold it into three columns. in one right time, in another one right treasure, and in another one right talent, and list out the things that God has given you to use in your life. Everything that you use your time for, everything that you use your treasure for, all your assets and possessions and your money, write it all in there. And all of the talents and skills and abilities that God has given you, write it all in there. Draw a big circle around all of that and say, this is God's stuff. And then go through it and find something in there that you can share this month. And then go back to it next month and find another thing that you can share. And get into the habit of doing that. And if you want to up the ante, if you want to fling open those windows and doors and let the Holy Spirit just blow all around and get you focused on the hope of God, then another thing you can do is take that piece of paper and show the people in your small group and say, can any of you use this stuff for the purposes and mission of God in your life? And see if you can collaborate your stuff together and see what God can do with it. And the last one in how we share with others is public prayer. Prayer as in coming into the presence of God and communing with Him there. Do that with other people. Worship God. Confess your sin and your state to God and lift up your petitions and requests to God in fellowship with other people. Share those things with other people so that they can pray with you. Celebrate with other people. Throughout the whole Bible, we're instructed to do this. One place is in Hebrews chapter 10, 25, where it says, let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially because the day is drawing near. The day that Jesus is coming back and we get this eternal inheritance. Hey, that's getting closer. It's actually closer now than it was before. So keep getting together and encouraging one another. If you're looking for a way to get started on this, you have come to the right place. We do that here every Sunday. Right here, somebody is talking to you about the promises and hope of God. Right over there, there's a person singing to you about the promises of God. And anytime that's happening, you can sing too. Sing loud. Sing loud because you're not just singing to God. You can just sing to God in the shower. You can just sing to God in your car. But when you come here to sing to God, you're also singing to all these other people who are also trying to set their hope on the promises of God. And you're singing to them too. And you're helping them set their hope, just like they're helping you. Meet with your small group during the week. Do it for long enough that you can hear their confessions and pray for them. And you can open your heart enough to let out your confessions and be prayed for. That's actually something the Bible commands us to do in James. It even says that some of us are sick because we won't open that part of our hearts up to what God has in store for us. If you're already in the habit of public prayer, and you want to fling that door open, then find people to disciple you and find someone that you can disciple to. Even if you're not that far along. In fact, if you're not that far along, you're definitely going to want to do that. You're going to want to get into the habit of getting someone to walk alongside you and show you the path that Jesus is leading them on so that you can follow them. And at the very same time, bring someone along with you. It's a great way to share with others as a spiritual discipline in 2019. And eat together. Remind each other of the promises of God in your regular rhythms of daily life. You see? These things at the front, there's food and drink inside there. It's because Jesus instructed us to eat together, to share the regular rhythms of daily life, and when we do it, remember together the promises that God has in store for us. We're going to do that in just a second. Okay, we're done. I just want to tell you a little story about two friends of mine who were talking to me over the Christmas holidays, and they said, hey, Benny, we want to be faithful to Jesus, but our friends aren't believers, and they tell crude jokes. They like to get drunk. How do we get along with them without compromising our faith? This was a really sincere question. They really love these people. In Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 19, and Luke 7, 34, Jesus, the God-man, God in flesh, is accused by the religious leaders of the day of being a friend of sinners. Jesus was having a better time hanging out with sinners in his day than these religious leaders. Why? It's because Jesus didn't need to turn his nose up to the sinners in order to draw near to God, in order to place his hope in what he knew God was about. And you don't need to do that either. You don't need to turn your nose up at the sinners in your life. Go to them. Listen to God. Speak with God and share with others. And let your hope be set on the promises of God as you go to the people in Campbell River that need to hear about that faith too. It's something anybody can do. I found little ways just while preparing this sermon to do it in my life. I used to play 2048. It's a great mind-numbing game while I was waiting for my daughter to fall asleep. I just stopped playing the game and started writing little prayers during that time. It cost me nothing, and it was easy. And I get to enjoy more of God's joy in that time. Okay.